yet in many cases they are overlooked because they are too simple. You know, they say it's too good to be true because it's too simple. You know, if curing cancer would be so simple, everybody would be doing it. That kind of thing, you hear that. Well, the truth is, it is simple. And this hour, we're going to go into that beauty and simplicity. And just like I said, get your pencils out, get your papers out, get ready to write. Also, if you miss anything, I have links at rsbell.com to what we're talking about this hour, and you're going to have to dig them up. Also, I will let you know Dr. John Apsley's site with the foundation is mref.org. So this is one of the first things I want you to write down, because he's going to be developing some links over the next week when he gets back in town where he is, and he's at mref, I-M as in Mary, R-E-F as in foundation, .org. I'll say it again, mref. imref.org. You're going to want to know that. I'll also be giving some direct website links to the doctor, the oncologist from Italy, who helped to develop this system that is, again, so simple. We're about to go there. But curing cancer, you have to acknowledge this, is a great threat to the power structure on planet Earth. I mean, you got to understand how powerful Cancer Incorporated has become to hold this grip, this thought form that, no, it can't be simple, it can't be easy. And that, of course, is a limitation set upon you by your agreement, by your acceptance. So if you're going to buy into that logic, maybe something that we say or everything that we say this hour won't mean anything to you. But those of you who know that you have been lied to about the truth, and or have been just, let's say, kept from that truth for the purposes of keeping you dependent upon another power structure, are going to acknowledge the beauty and simplicity of this, and will see it for what it is. And I'm blessed today to have Dr. John Apsley also to help me relate this story of this great oncologist. But Dr. Apsley, thank you so much. You had called me, I don't know, what is it, a few weeks ago now, and said, hey, there is this seminar you have got to attend. There's an Italian oncologist who's coming with a 90% cure rate for cancer, and it's so simple, as you mentioned. Even I, knowing the beauty and simplicity of nature, said, oh, come on, John, really? Dr. Apsley, really? This is as for real as it gets. But again, thank you for being on board with me to share this today.
Yes, absolutely. Well, our concern at our foundation is the lack of minerals in the soil, including silver, including gold, including platinum. Gold is used to treat arthritis. Platinum is used to treat cancer, cisplatinum. Silver is used to treat cancer. In 1948, the Furman Bear report of Rutgers University showed that an average bowl of spinach contained 150 milligrams iron and a whole bunch of other minerals, soft metals and transition metals like copper and iron and silver and gold. And by 1961, those same mineral patterns expressed as an example by iron were less than 2 milligrams. So from 150 milligrams down to 2 milligrams just in those 14 years. The other minerals all follow the same trend. Well, we need those minerals which are positively charged inside our cells, because all diseases, infections, chlamydia was brought up last part with mycoplasma, fungus infections, viruses, they have a negative charge on their outer membrane. In the case of funguses, there's also a positive charge, but it also merges with a negative charge. So if anything can cleave that, break it apart, you have instant death of these organisms. Well, inside the human body all along, there's been an amazing chemical that that helps us to maintain part of how these minerals maximize their protection effect against an invader. So consider it a separate immune system that inside the cell, if there's an abundance of these metals, the essential metals as well as some of the non-essential metals like silver, found in the right proportion and in the right state, which is a charged state, a positive charged state, but again, in the right concentration, that organisms can't invade your tissues. When these metals aren't there, when these soft minerals aren't there, then disease begins to form, not only with cancer, but also with lack of resistance, and the cell begins to operate in a bizarre way. So you can have other diseases like failure of the pancreas for diabetes, failure of the liver for hepatitis, and so on and so forth. Well, Tullio Simoncini, a brilliant man, very kind-hearted man, was an out-of-the-box thinker, and he wanted to help children with cancer. To make a long story short, a mother begged him to allow her to have an hour with her son who was dying of brain cancer, who had been in a coma for many days. She just wanted to talk to her son of 14 years old just one last time. And so he decided that he was going to try something, and he had the opportunity. So he got, I won't go into that because we don't have time, but he decided he was going to do an IV of bicarbonate, which is baking soda, common baking soda, without the aluminum, because there's aluminum in baking soda in the grocery store. And he prepared it properly and injected it. And he had to leave the hospital, but when he was coming back right away. When he came back, the entire hospital was in tears. This 14-year-old who had been in a coma was walking up and down the aisles with his mother having a nice conversation. And this boy lived for another 3 years. He had a very serious form of aggressive brain cancer. So I understood the principles of bicarbonate. What bicarbonate does, it removes what replaces the minerals inside the cells when there are no minerals. It has to be a positive charge. Turns out that it's hydrogen. Now, we all think, well, hydrogen, if we know a little bit of chemistry, well, that causes pH. That causes acid. But we've been going about it backwards. If you're laced with acid, why put more alkali in rather than remove the acid? Because then the natural minerals that we're getting from a raw food diet with food grown properly,
yes,
will naturally replace themselves into the cell. But they can't if the cell is too full of hydrogens, which are positively charged. They repel. It's like putting two positives together. Take a magnet and stick two positive ends towards each other. They push apart. So this is a huge clue to disease. And back in the early part of the last century, we didn't have these illnesses. There's been a lot of statistical manipulation and buffoonery that's been put out there about why we're getting sick and that we're living longer. But the quality of life isn't there. We're really not living longer, by the way. The infants died. There was a higher infant mortality rate. And they averaged that into the overall age. If you lived to the age of 40 back in 1920, you're virtually guaranteed to live to the age of 80 without all these chronic degenerative diseases. You just wound up not waking up one morning, and that was it. They knew how to diagnose cancer and heart disease back then, but it just wasn't occurring. So my point is that it's lack of minerals in the soil. And whenever you can get these metals and these other, calcium is a metal, magnesium is a metal, potassium is a metal, copper is a metal, iron is a metal, all these are essential. But also the trace metals found with their full charge and not attached to any sort of salt, that's how the cell works. So what Simoncini has found is that just like in the soil, just like on trees, when there's no metals left, when there's no nutrients left, fungus comes to pull everything down. So he looks at cancer as being nothing other than fungus. And this is very fascinating. We have known for 30 years in the primary medical literature that wherever you do a biopsy and look at a tumor, there is always fungus present. But they just say it's anecdotal, it's just an artifact, it's just kind of there. But yet there's been all these physiologists that are saying, hey, wait a second, why the heck is fungus always there, as well as other organisms? There's other organisms as well. It turns out that sodium bicarb for fungus is like the ultimate death knell. It cannot handle sodium bicarbonate directly applied. Now, if it's because it's pulling out all the hydrogens, which a fungus would depend upon, why? Because metals it can't use, because that's when it comes into play to tear down the last little bit of organic material that's there. All the minerals have been rinsed away. Fungus comes in at the tail end to tear down the last thing. In this case, just to make a long story short, it has to depend upon hydrogen. Because, it has to use something that's positively charged. Well, sodium bicarb takes all the hydrogen out of play.
Yeah, and in this case, we're really setting the stage for a true alteration of the terrain of the body. So this fits in with that understanding that we're talking about, not attacking something per se, although we recognize the presence of the fungus, but the fungus is there because we provided the terrain, and we are going for a fast alteration of the terrain, so fast, in fact. Again, Dr. Simoncini, he's saying 90% success rate with these cancers with intravenous introduction of a 5% sodium bicarb infusion. And I was watching the presentation. I was still stunned with the simplicity here.
Yeah, the key is to get the sodium bicarb to where the actual tumors are. Some cases you can swallow it. It's usually done a cup of water with a level teaspoon of sodium bicarb. But again, you can use calcium, magnesium, potassium bicarbonates. You don't have to use sodium. And it can be applied in other areas where you need to.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about some of the protocols that were developed, also some of the stories of cancer cures with this, again, fractions.